Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm really pleased to be here with you this evening to talk about, is this the right person for me? This is a big question that people ask me all the time. Many of my clients want to know if the person they're with, how do they know that this person is the right person for them? So this is what we're going to be talking about this evening. First, I'd just like to outline the class a little bit. I'll be talking about that. Halfway through, I'll be talking a little bit about what we offer, the kind of products that we offer and what's available. And then I'm going to take questions from those of you that are online and also from some of you that wrote in questions. We have quite a few questions that people wrote in, and we have a lot of people online, so it will be an interesting evening. So there's two different reasons that people have for wanting to get married or to have a partner. One reason is to get something, to get love, to get connection, to get filled up, to get that empty place filled up, to take away the feeling of aloneness, to get safety and security. And the other reason that people want to be in partnership is to connect and to share love, to share connection, to learn and to grow together emotionally and spiritually. Now, the first reason comes from what we call in inner bonding, the wounded self. I want to get something. I want somebody else to make me safe. I want somebody else to fill me up and somebody else to make me feel loved and okay and secure. And the second reason comes from what we call the loving adult, which is who we are when we're connected with a higher source of guidance. And we're learning to be loving to ourselves. We're learning to fill ourselves with the love that we keep trying to seek from somebody else. We learn to connect with ourselves and connect with our guidance so that we can be with a partner and share in a connected way. Share love, share companionship, share passion, share growth, rather than always trying to get. So where you're coming from makes a huge difference regarding how you're going to know whether this person is right for you. So before I go into that a little bit more, I want to talk about the whole issue of connection. We all have a basic need for connection. This is kind of wired into us in that when we come into the world, we need to be connected with our parents. We need to feel their love. We need to feel safe. We need to feel held. We need to be able to rely on them. We need to know they're going to be there for us. And unfortunately, many of us did not have that. I certainly did not have that. People I work with did not have that. They didn't have parents who knew how to connect to them because most of our parents did not know how to connect with themselves. They did not know how to take responsibility for their own feelings. They did not know how to connect to a source of spiritual guidance. So they did not know how to fill themselves with love. And so they could not love and connect with us in the way that we needed. And so what happens is that many of us felt abandoned in many ways. We felt abandoned emotionally when nobody was there for us with our feelings. We felt abandoned physically if we were left alone a lot. We felt abandoned, you know, if people were angry, were mean, were abusive, emotionally abusive, physically abusive, sexually abusive. These are all deep, deep forms of abandonment, deep forms of disconnection that say to us that we're not safe, that we're not okay, and creates huge, huge problems. So many of the problems in our society come from the fact that so many people did not have connection, loving, supportive connection in their household. So we grow up with that, and we grow up with this emptiness and this aloneness inside. And then we don't learn how to fill that because our parents didn't know, our caregivers didn't know how to fill themselves up. So we don't learn how to connect with our own feelings and how to connect with a source of guidance that where we can fill ourselves up with that connection. And so that's what inner bonding is about. Inner bonding is about learning to connect with your own feelings, which we call the inner child, and to connect with a higher source of guidance, to bring in love and wisdom, guidance, so that we can learn how to be loving to ourselves, how to fill ourselves up with love, and then share that love with a partner. But unless you're learning and practicing inner bonding, the chances are you don't know how to do this. You don't know how to fill yourself up with love and make yourself feel safe and secure and heal the shame that so many of us grow up with because of how we grew up. And shame is something that we went to because, number one, we were shamed and we believed it, and number two, blaming ourselves and making ourselves wrong is a way to feel some kind of control over other people's unloving behavior. So many people still go to shame. Well, it's my fault that somebody is acting unlovingly, as a way to not feel the deep, deep pain of loneliness and heartbreak and helplessness that we feel when somebody disconnects from us. These are very hard feelings, and when we were growing up, we couldn't feel the depth of loneliness and heartbreak that we felt when our parents or other caregivers were not connected with us, when they were unloving with us. We could not afford to feel those feelings, and so we learned to protect against them with anger or shutting down, not feeling our feelings, staying in our head, turning to addictions. We learned so many ways of not feeling the deep pain of our parents or caregivers not connecting with us. And so we grow up with that. We grow up not being able to feel the core feelings of loneliness and heartbreak when somebody disconnects. And then what happens is when somebody who's important to us, like a partner, disconnects from us, it triggers this old and deep, deep pain. And we go into our protections. We go into anger and blame. We shut down. We give ourselves up. We go into resistance. We do all kinds of protective things, which what that leads to is that we're disconnecting from ourselves and we're disconnecting from our partner, and it's creating a circular thing. And where if I get angry because my abandonment wound is getting touched, and then that my anger touches my partner's abandonment wound and he withdraws from me, then that's touching my abandonment wound again, and then I'm getting angrier, and then that's touching his, and he withdraws. And so it goes round and round in a circle. Now, when you're in this circle, it's very difficult to know whether this is the right person for you, because you're both coming from so much fear of being abandoned, being left, being disconnected from, and you're reacting to that with the very behavior that creates the fear in the other person. So when the two of you met, this wasn't happening. The two of you met, you know, you started to share yourselves with each other, and you connected. You wouldn't be together if you didn't connect. And you connected, and then once you got connected, the fear of losing the connection came up. It's like, oh, this person, you know, is going to fill up this empty place in me, and I feel so connected to him or her. And then that person does something like doesn't return a call or doesn't show up on time, and your abandonment wound gets triggered. And then you go into your protections, which triggers your partner's abandonment wound, and he or she goes into their protections. And pretty soon, the connection is gone because you can't feel connected to each other when you're protected, when you've closed your heart and you're coming from fear of the disconnection, fear of being left. You can't connect in that state. And if you can't connect, then it's very, very hard to know whether this is the right person for you. They very likely are, but how are you going to know when you're going round and round in this protective circle, each protecting yourself from your fear of being hurt by the other person, each of you hurting the other person in your attempts to not be hurt? You can't know from that place. And the thing is that I've said over and over again, those of you that have heard me before know, that we're attracted to each other on our common level of woundedness, which means our common level of self-abandonment. So to the level at which we do not know how to take loving care of ourselves and we abandon ourselves, that is the level to which we are attracted to each other. So if I'm abandoning myself a lot and going into anger or blame or withdrawal, going into my head, going into addictions, making other people responsible, judging myself, these are all forms of self-abandonment, I'm going to be attracted to somebody who's doing the same thing. And we're going to go around in this circle, and we're going to keep protecting, and we're not going to connect, and it's very, very difficult, as I said, to know whether that person is the right person. So instead of always asking, is this person the right person for me, you want to also ask, am I being the right person? Am I being a person who comes to a relationship open to connection, filled with love to share, or am I being a needy person hoping to get this person to connect to me and love me and validate me and make me okay? Which person am I being? Am I the right person to be in this relationship? So the main reason that relationships don't work is because each person is disappointed at not getting the connection that they expected to get from the other person. And when you don't know how to connect to and love and validate yourself and create that inner sense of safety and security, you certainly can't do that for another person. And so when you're coming together at that common level of self-abandonment, you're not going to be able to do that for each other. Now, this doesn't mean that you're with the wrong person, you see, because even if you leave this person, you're still going to be attracted to somebody else at the common level of self-abandonment, the common level of woundedness. And so for many relationships, unless they're physically abusive, there's really not much point in leaving because the learning takes place within the relationship. So much learning can take place within the relationship. So it's actually fairly easy to know if this is the right person for you when your intent in being in a relationship is to learn together and share love. Two people who come together open to learning and wanting to share love, they can know very easily whether or not somebody is coming from a full place or whether or not somebody is coming from an empty place, and they're not going to be attracted to an empty person. So if you're doing your inner bonding work and you're really connecting to yourself and your guidance, it actually becomes very easy. You find out very quickly whether this person you've met is emotionally dependent or operates from a connected state, and you're just not going to be attracted to somebody if you're connected who is not emotionally growing and spiritually growing and taking responsibility for their own feelings, is connected with their inner child, connected with their guidance. You're just not going to be attracted once you're really doing your inner work. Now, even if you do believe that this person is open and you're open, you're still not going to know right away. Most of the time, you know, if you meet somebody who seems really open, you've been doing your work, you think that person's doing their work, and you say, oh, you know, we're open, we want to learn, we want to grow together, you're still not going to know right away whether this is the right person for you. It actually takes months to discover whether or not a person is who they say they are. They might say they're open. They might say they want to learn and grow. They might say they're on the same page as you, but that doesn't mean they are. And the fact is, you can't really know who a person is until you have conflict with them, because you have to know what a person does in conflict. This is what really tells a lot, because some people can appear to be very open and loving until a conflict comes up, and then they get angry or withdrawn or resist or compliant. They close down rather than stay open to learning about themselves and the other person. So an important question is, how does this person deal with conflict, and how long does it take them to open up if they close down in the face of conflict? Most people, if they haven't practiced staying open in the face of conflict, they do close down. But what you want to know is, how long does it take them to open up again? Does it take them an hour? Does it take them a day? Does it take them a week? How long does it take for them to open up again? That's very, very important in terms of whether or not a relationship is going to work. If somebody in conflict shuts down and stays shut down for a week, this relationship is not going to work. And it takes a while to find that out. If they shut down for an hour and then they come back and they want to talk and they want to work it out, then this relationship has a very good chance of working. Now, obviously, none of us enter relationships fully healed. We're not enlightened beings, and we don't enter fully healed. So it's really important to know that your partner is willing to explore in conflict rather than just protect against it with controlling behavior. This is one of the main ways of knowing whether or not a relationship is going to work, because conflict occurs in all relationships. It's just a part of life. You can either see it as a problem or you can see it as a learning opportunity. And if both people are not open to learning about themselves and each other within conflict, the unresolved conflicts will eventually destroy the relationship. You just cannot maintain a connected, loving relationship without being open to learning in conflict. So if you're a person who's open to learning and wants a relationship in order to connect and to share love, there are three essential ingredients that need to be present for the person to be the right person for you. The first one, and you might want to write this down, the first one is that there needs to be some basic spark of attraction. You have to, you know, like this person's energy. There doesn't have to be like fireworks or passion at the beginning. That actually can grow, but there has to be a sense of liking to be in that person's energy, that their energy feels good to you, that you're attracted to their energy. You just enjoy being next to them. That kind of spark has to be there. If you don't feel that energetic, sort of physical energetic attraction with the person within the first 6 months of the relationship, the chances are that this kind of attraction is not going to develop. And I'm not talking about infatuation. I'm not talking about the great high that people feel when they fall in love, which inevitably goes by the wayside as people get into their conflicts. I'm talking about just a warm, good sense of liking to be next to this person. Number two, both of you need to be capable of caring and compassion and empathy, to be a giver rather than just be a taker. If this person just wants what they want and doesn't care about what you want, they're not the right person for you. If you just want what you want and you don't care about what the other person wants or feels, you're not ready for a relationship. And number three, both people need to be open to learning in conflict rather than just wanting to win and be right. If both people are open to learning in conflict, then conflict will get resolved in loving ways. But if they're not, then there's just going to be disconnection and power struggles if one or both of you are intent on controlling and winning. So it's very, very important for you to be open to learning and for you to know that your partner is open to learning in conflict. Now, certainly other ingredients like common interests and values are also important, but actually not nearly as important as the above three ingredients. They'll not sustain a relationship. I don't care how many things you have in common. If there's no attraction, energetic attraction between you, you don't enjoy being next to each other in the same space, if there's no true caring and empathy between you, and if there's not an intention to learn, this relationship is not going to work. And so if you're not in that place to do that, then you need to be working with yourself with inner bonding to reach a place where you are open and where you are empathic and where you are caring. And then you will be ready to find somebody who is also open and caring and empathic and willing to learn and grow and explore in conflict. Then you will be ready for a relationship. So I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about what is available to help you do this learning and growing. One of the wonderful tools that we have is called our Intimate Relationship Toolbox, and you can get this by going to innerbonding.com. You will be able to see it. It's just listed there, the toolbox, and this is a wonderful 12-week course. You get the first 2 weeks free, so you can try it out and see how you like it. It's wonderful for a couple to do with each other, but it's also wonderful for an individual to do to help you get ready for a relationship. And the feedback that I'm getting from this, because it's fairly new, is wonderful. That is just bringing couples light years ahead of where they were, and it's bringing individuals into understanding what's happened in their relationships in the past and what they need to be doing with themselves to get ready to create a loving relationship. Now, the other major tool we have is called SelfQuest, which is a software program, and you can see this at selfquest.com. And if you have questions about this, you can email me at margaret@innerbonding.com. For those of you, this is a fairly expensive program. This program costs $997. But for those of you that are on the phone this evening, we always give a 40% discount for anybody who is on the webinar call, and you can email me at margaret@innerbonding.com. We also, and I'm just counting on you to be honest about this, but we also have on the site what we call option 4. When you go to the site and you scroll down to pay, if you cannot afford the full price, if you cannot afford the 40% off, we have option 4, which is where you can apply for financial assistance and get the program for what you can afford. So we want this program to be available for everybody. It's a fabulous program. It's incredible. And it presents you with very, very deep levels of healing, healing shame, healing self-abandonment, healing false beliefs. And if you really want to do a deep level of work and heal anxiety and depression and relationships and guilt and shame, this is an incredible program. So we have many other ways of helping you with inner bonding. We have a membership site that has a tiered relationship, and you can join for as little as $9.95 a month, depending on what level of involvement you want. So you can go to innerbonding.com and sign up for our free 7 days, and you can see the tiered membership and see what level you want to join. There's a tremendous amount of help and support on the website. I do individual and conjoint sessions and on the phone, and we have facilitators who do them as well. If you can't afford my fees, there are facilitators available at who charge different fees. So if you're needing help, that's available. I do 5-day intensives. I'm doing one in February. That one is filled and does have a bit of a waiting list, but the next one will be in April in Durango, Colorado. So if you're interested in doing a very deep level of healing with me, only 12 people come together and for 5 days, and it's a very deep level of healing. We have a free course, and if you go to innerbonding.com, you can take our 7-day free course. If you haven't done that, I really suggest you do that and to continue to take the free webinars like this one, which I do every 3 to 4 weeks. And you can call 888-6-INNER-BOND and talk to Valerie, who's our wonderful administrator, if you have any questions. So I am going to be taking questions. And for those of you that are on the phone, and we have many people on this evening, if you would like to work with me, please do so. It is very safe for you to do the work. You will not get hurt. You will not feel embarrassed. And it will give you an experience of what it's like to work with inner bonding. So if somebody would like to do some work with me, you can press *7. *7 will unmute you. To mute yourself again, you can press *6. But if you would like to do some work, you can press *7 and do some work. So is there anybody there who would like to do some work with me right
yes.
now?
Yes. My name is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi there. I just love you, and I love your website. I love everything that you do.
Oh, thank you so much.
I have gone around and around with this. I've been married 19 years. My kids are 16 and 18. I am not happy in my marriage because there's no chemistry between my husband and I.
Now, and was there ever chemistry between you?
No.
Oh, there never was at all?
Not really, no.
What made you get together?
Security.
Uh-huh.
Security.
And are you good friends?
Yes, we are.
And can you connect to each other emotionally?
I think I've scared him off pretty good.
Okay. You know, I want to suggest to you that before you decide that this marriage is not worth it or that your unhappiness is because there's no chemistry, I want to suggest that maybe the two of you take the Relationship Toolbox course. The problem is that when there's no emotional connection, it's very, very difficult to know whether that chemistry is going to be there or isn't going to be there. Sometimes it isn't, and sometimes that's okay. Sometimes if people have an emotional connection, that's enough for them to feel happy within the relationship. Research indicates that happily married couples say that the sexual relationship is like 15 to 20% of their marriage. Unhappy people say it's like 70 or 80% of the marriage, but it's not as big a thing as a lot of people think it is. It's the emotional connection, it's the affection, it's the holding, it's the tenderness, it's the sharing of feelings, it's the closeness, it's being able to rely on each other, help each other. That's what's really important, and that can often lead to a sexual connection, even if it hasn't been there before.
Okay.
And the sexual connection in a long-term relationship has to come from the feeling of safety, emotional safety, being able to connect on the heart level. So I want to suggest that since you've been married for a long time, that the two of you either get some help in breaking down the walls that are in the way of connecting with each other and see what happens in your relationship.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Good.
Thank you,
Well,
Margaret.
Thank you. You're thank welcome, you. Honey. You're welcome. Is there somebody else online that would like to speak with me? Okay, I'm going to take a question. And this is Mary, and she says, I'm afraid to be in a relationship. I withhold love. What can I do to look past the way I was raised in a strict Catholic upbringing? Well, this is where inner bonding comes in, Mary, because you've got a lot of fears, you've got a lot of false beliefs. Withholding love is, I'm sure, hurting you. It doesn't feel good inside to do that. But you're not going to be able to share love with somebody else until you learn to share love with yourself, until you learn to connect inside with your own feelings and to connect with your spiritual source and make yourself feel safe and secure, heal the fear, heal the shame, heal the false beliefs, and then you'll be able to open up your heart and move into being in a relationship. Okay, is there anybody else on the phone?
Hey, Dr. Margaret Paul.
Yes.
This is
What's
Valerie.
Your name?
Valerie.
Pardon me? Hi, Valerie.
Valerie.
Okay.
Hi. I have a question. I am involved somewhat with two different men at various levels at various times. One of them was someone I was married to and we've dated. And another one is someone I dated but am no longer like in a committed relationship with. And the one that I dated that I wasn't married to, I had a very strong emotional bond to. But in listening to you, I realized that part of the problem is that we come together and there's a lot of passion and chemistry, but then he leaves and there's not a connection. And so there's
uh-huh.
that disconnect and it feels unsafe. And then with the man that I was married to, we've had this relationship, a long-distance relationship after divorcing, and there's a lot of steadiness and commitment, but not a lot of emotional connection. And my question is it worth waiting around for people that emotionally disconnect sporadically? I mean, you can kind of tell when they're getting ready to, right after you've come together.
Well, you know, if they don't want to commit to learning how to stay with their own feelings, see, people disconnect because they're afraid of their pain. They're afraid of their loneliness, their heartbreak, and they disconnect in order to avoid the pain. Now, if they're not willing to learn how to manage that pain so that they can stay present and stay connected, then there really is no point in waiting around. Waiting around is only going to hurt you because, you know, you want a connected relationship with somebody. So what you would need to say is, look, are you available for working on this? Are you available for working on this with me and reaching a place where you're not afraid of your pain? You're not afraid of your loneliness. You're not afraid of your heartbreak. You know how to manage it so that you can keep your heart open and you don't keep disconnecting. Or do you just want to keep disconnecting when you feel unsafe and then come back when you feel safe again? You need to find that out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's very helpful.
Good.
So with the other person, if this one doesn't work out with the guy that I was married to, is it worth sticking around even though like it's very consistent and steady and he's available, just not a lot of emotional connection where like you describe emotional connection as affection and love and just wanting to be in their energy and
right.
learning
but it's
together.
The same, but it's, you know, it's the same thing, honey. Is he available to learning how to do that with you?
Not
if
so much.
If he's available to
available.
That, then that's, pardon me?
Not so much, but he's available, like he's always there at night and he always calls. He's very predictable. So that,
yeah, but
that's
not an emotional connection. And I'm hearing,
right.
I mean, I think that's very important. It's very important to me. I wouldn't be happy with somebody who's just there and steady but is not willing to do the work of being emotionally connected.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to find that out. Is he willing to do the work?
I will. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, I'm going to take another question from somebody who wrote in. This is Dana, and Dana is somebody that I do know. And Dana is talking about the fact that her partner has moved out because of their, I'm not going to read the whole question because it's very long, but because they lack chemistry, but they both had serious wounded sexual issues, and they didn't work on it because she's saying our sexual problems, we didn't work on our sexual problems very deeply because we became convinced it was just some unworkable biological chemistry thing. We're both feeling suspicious about that theory now. We're wondering if we should really try and do some in-depth work on our individual sexual issues. And we fear that maybe we don't even really know the whole truth about whether we're right for each other as a couple, because we don't know how we are without our old habits and protections. She says, your daughter, Cheryl, who also is a therapist and works with people, suspects that what is commonly called chemistry is largely conditioning rather than biology. Isn't the real chemistry more like a flow of energy that can be blocked by sexual trauma and sexual addiction? And yes, that is true, Dana. It can be blocked. And Dana said at the beginning they were very happy with each other for a long time until this issue came up. And I think it's worth working on. I think that that the chemistry is about the flow. It is about the connection. It is about the emotional intimacy. And that when you can deal with what's getting in the way of that, then the sexuality can follow. And if there's sexual issues that are getting in the way of that, then it's very important to deal with them. And since, Dana, you say that it was the happiest time in your life, I would think it would be very worth it to work on this relationship. I mean, obviously the two of you tried to break up, but you're still in each other's lives, which means there's a lot of love there. And I would think that that working on it would be an important thing to do rather than just leaving it. Okay. Is there somebody else online who would like to work with me?
Hi. My name is Lydia.
Lydia. Hello, Lydia.
Hi. I'm not in a relationship right now. I'm somebody that was hurt like 12 years ago by somebody that I was like very much in love with, and it was not reciprocated, and now I'm like, I'm trying to figure out, like, how do I open myself up to other people? I'm a person that overeats, and so I have this thing about my body, and I'm like, how do I mean, I've got issues, like, about being molested and stuff, and I don't know. I'm a compassionate person, and I care about people, and I have good friends and stuff, and yet I can't seem to get a boyfriend.
Well, honey, if you're using food to push down your feelings and you're afraid of being hurt, I want to suggest that you learn and practice inner bonding.
Okay.
Because you need to learn to manage the pain that you're pushing down with food. Very shortly, I'm going to be coming out with what is called the Permanent Weight Loss Toolbox. And it's about this. It's about learning how to manage your feelings with inner bonding so that you're not using an addiction such as food to push them away.
Okay.
And so I want to suggest that you learn and practice inner bonding and reach a place where you're no longer afraid of being hurt. I mean, this is nobody likes being hurt. I don't like being hurt. But I'm not afraid of being hurt because I know how to manage the feelings.
Okay.
And so, it took me a long time of doing inner bonding to keep my heart open enough so that I could connect with others. But it's so worth practicing inner bonding and learning to do that so that you're no longer afraid of being hurt. That's the issue.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that make sense to you?
That makes so much sense.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there somebody else online who would like to do some work with me?
I have a question.
Yes.
Oh, hang on.
Go ahead. What's your name?
Kathy again.
Okay, Kathy.
What is an emotional connection? You know,
an emotional connection is when you feel safe in sharing your feelings with your partner. Your partner feels safe in sharing their feelings with you. That you can rely on each other to support each other, to care about each other. You, even if your partner does something that's hurtful to you, you can tell that person and know that they're going to care about it, that they're going to be motivated to understand why they did what they did and do some work with it. It's where two people create a safe space in which to authentically share who they are on a feeling level.
What if that's not there because of the wounded self dominating the relationship?
Well, it's never there when the wounded self is dominating the relationship. That's the problem.
Right.
And that's why, there is no emotional connection when the ego wounded self is dominating the relationship. It's not possible because the wounded self is just trying to control, is trying to protect, is trying to avoid pain, and there's no possibility of an emotional connection.
That's
so
what
that's
I've done.
Why, yeah, so that's why you have to be devoted to practicing inner bonding and healing the fears and control mechanisms of the wounded self so that you can be operating as a loving adult in the relationship, and then you can create emotional connection.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Paul.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else online that would like to do any work with me? Let's see. We got a bunch of questions here. This one is from Catherine. And, again, it's a long question, but she's been dating an American long distance for 5 years. And Catherine, having read your question, she's saying that this man is blaming her for not giving him what he wants. And we don't have a lot of time, but, Catherine, I'm just going to say to you that this is not a loving relationship. This is a relationship where this man is making you responsible for him. There's some abuse in this relationship, and I really want to suggest that you move on. So, let's see. Abby asks, my boyfriend is frugal and I'm not. How can we enjoy our life together? He works and I want to stay at home and raise our children. So, this is one of those issues where if you're open to learning, you can learn a lot from each other. Just saying, well, he's frugal and I'm not, is not the end of the story. You can learn more about why being frugal is important to him. He can learn more about why not being frugal is important to you. And through the learning process, both of you can change and come more together where you can come up with something that works for both of you. And this can happen when you care. When you care about his need to be frugal, and he cares about your need not to be. And through that caring, you can come to learning, growth, understanding, and learn so much from each other. We don't have to be alike, but what we do have to be is open to learning. And both of you can learn a lot by being open. So is there anybody else online that would want to do some work with me? Okay, let's see. Mandy asks, my boyfriend and I are very different. What attracted me to him in the first place, which is what attracted me to him in the first place, what differences are too much for a relationship to withstand? We are raised differently and it embarrasses me sometimes. See, once again, differences are great if you're open to learning. In fact, it would be wonderful, Mandy, for you to open to learning about why his behavior is embarrassing to you. In some way, you're making him responsible for your feelings. You're taking things personally. But some of the things that he may do, you could open to learning about and say, okay, I am feeling embarrassed by this. I'd like to understand why you do this. I need to learn where this is coming from. There's just so much learning, and that's where the emotional intimacy comes from, is when people are open and they're willing to learn about why people do what they do, why their partner does what they do. Differences are great as long as you learn from the differences rather than have to change and control the person. Okay, is there anybody else who has any question?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, how are you, Dr. Margaret?
I'm fine. What's your name, honey?
My name is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. How can I help you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. How can I help you this evening?
I make this as short and simple as I can. I've been in a relationship with a guy. It's been about 4 or 5 months. We had a connection, and my wounded self became scared because I started liking him too much. So I wanted to back off and told him such. And what he did was he shut down for like 3 months, wouldn't call me, wouldn't talk to me. And part of that is because I've asked him not to call me and talk to me. Well, he contacted me 3 months later, but The only way we communicate is by text messaging. He never picks up the phone to call me. For 3 months, we've been text messaging, and I'm like thinking, you know, this is crazy. What is going on? So my question is, I decided that it just wasn't going to work. Even though there's a connection there, you can't form intimacy with a person through text messaging.
Right, that's right. You can't.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way you can. I mean, the tone, you can't read the tone of a message or so on and so forth. So my question is, as you said, we come together at our same level of frequency. Is it possible that I'm doing my inner work but not yet open and he's closed? Is it possible for two people to come together at the same level of frequency but one be open and one be closed?
No. If somebody's open, they're at a higher frequency than the one who's closed. But the fact that you're willing to be in a relationship with somebody who's texting, and the fact that you pulled away when you felt yourself getting too close, means that there's not the openness yet that you think is there, that you need to do some more work to feel safe enough to truly be open. Because if you were really open, it would not be okay with you to be in a relationship with somebody who's texting.
And I agree 150%, because it's at the point now where, you know, before I was responding, so more or less when you respond to this text, you're encouraging it. So why would he stop?
That's right.
So I'm at the point now where, you know, I get a text message, I'm not responding because, you know, I think that I encouraged it, so I'm not really blaming him because he's only doing what I allowed him to do. But in the same
way.
Well,
and he may have been picking up your fear of closeness, and he may be honoring that, who knows? But you know, if you're ready for a closer relationship, you would have to say, I'm ready for a closer relationship. I don't want to text anymore. Are you?
This is true, and I haven't done that because, like you said, I don't think I'm as open as I seem to think that I am.
Well, that's right. So you need to continue to practice inner bonding and reach a place where you're not going to pull away when you get close to somebody. I mean, see, that is the thing that triggers people. Being close means that you can be hurt. I mean, that's what love is about. We can be hurt when we love somebody. And in order to really be close and be intimate, we have to be willing to be hurt. And in order to be willing to be hurt, we have to know how to manage the hurt. And that's what inner bonding is about, is really learning to manage it by staying connected with our own feelings and with our guidance, learning to bring that love in. Okay, we are at the end of our time. I'm going to unmute everybody so that I can say goodbye to all of you, and I so appreciate all of you joining me this evening. Thank you for joining me.
Thank
I hope you have
Dr.
a wonderful
Paul.
Evening.
Thank you.
Goodbye,
thank
everybody.
You.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.